It's time for the Hour of Power, where numerous churches and ministries in Western Oklahoma come together to produce a program found on the internet at therockchristianmusic.com. If you have a specific prayer request or you would like to share about an answer to prayer in your life, text the word pray to 68683, then share your request. This is your connection to other Christ followers and prayer warriors. Welcome to the Hour of Power.
Turn that up, Monica. Good morning. It is time for the Hour of Power, the most powerful hour of the day. I'm Neva Pyatt, sitting in the driver's seat this morning. Miss Monica's over there running the iPad, and Sister Judy Gifford is our guest today. Good morning, Sister Judy.
Good morning.
It's always so good to have you.
Thank you. It's good to be here.
Well, we always enjoy what the Lord has laid on your heart to share with our listeners, and so we'll get to that in just a minute. Grants Auction Realty is our Facebook sponsor today. If you have a praise report or a prayer request, you can post it right on our Facebook page. About halfway through the program, we'll stop and we'll pray for those needs. Or you can send it to our email, hourofpower@cableone.net. We do record in two parts, and when the program's over, it's posted over on our website, therockchristianmusic.com. So you can go there and you can click on the Hour of Power and then go to Monday or whichever day you might have missed, or maybe you missed one last week, and you can hear those over there if you don't have Facebook. You can go back on Facebook to The Rock Christian Music, and you can hear our messages, see our messages for way back. I'm not sure how long they've been saved, but quite a while. I think maybe I've covered everything. Sister Judy, will you pray to start us out?
I will. Hallelujah. Father, today we just humble ourselves before you. We come truly knowing we are nothing and you are everything. We are clay and you are our potter. You are our creator. You are our victory. You're our hope. You're our help. Father, you are our Savior. You're the one we look to, our Father. And we turn to you today and we ask for your anointing upon this time together, that you will anoint the three of us in this room today, God, and that you will anoint the listeners, that you will call those that need to hear this message, Lord, to hear this message, that you will anoint the listener, oh God, and touch the heart and their need, oh God, I pray. Father, we just look to you. We look to you for our tomorrows, for our todays, for everything in our life, Lord. We just lay it before you today and trust you. I ask for anointing, that you'll quicken my mind and anoint my mouth and use me for your glory today. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. And so your title today is Overcoming.
Yes.
I know you had to overcome to even get here this morning because we spoke earlier. You had to push through. And I told you that between God, mainly God, and me and Monica, we would help you get through this hour. He's faithful.
The scripture says I can do all things.
That's right.
All things through Christ who strengthens me. Mm-hmm. And I have to tell myself it doesn't matter what our past has been, the mistakes we have made. I took that infusion, and it's caused me great difficulty. And they said it was going to be good for you, and it's caused me great difficulty. But I have to keep presenting that to the Lord and say, Lord, I trust you. Mm-hmm. And you're going to take all the side effects. There's extreme side effects to it. And I would never have exchanged a little bit of a cold for my heartbeat changing and the difficult things that are sweats that come all the time and just different things that happen. But I declare this, my God is going to heal those.
Amen.
He's going to take those away because I'm going to trust him for it. Right. And I have watched him be faithful to me through my life.
Amen.
I have watched him take, and sometimes I will struggle with things for a while before I get the courage. And this also, I believe this is a side effect of that infusion, this growl in my throat. It's been quite a struggle, but whatever that is, I can take the whole pot of my life, all the good and all the bad, and there's a scripture that says all things work to the good for those who love God, mm-hmm, and are the called according to his purpose.
That's right.
That's because we keep presenting it to God, mm-hmm, and as we keep presenting it to God, he is touched with the feelings of our infirmities, and he cares for us. The last time I was here, that was what was so on my mind. He cares for us. Well, he still cares for us today. And I wish life was easy. There's a little thing, that little poem that says, if everything was easy and nothing was hard, then it's basically I wouldn't learn anything in life, and I wouldn't be a very useful tool if everything was just so easy. Now, you know what? I want the easy way.
Don't we all sometimes?
I want the easy way. I want things to just fit first time I try them. I want the recipe to be good first time I try it. You know, I want things to flow. And sometimes in life they do flow, but sometimes you get your finger caught on the side of the bowl and you throw the whole thing accidentally in the floor and you have to start all over and you got to go find another cake mix or whatever it is you're doing. And then somebody spills the trash and they have to go re-pick it up. Or me, I set it outside my door for the kind-hearted person who's going to come by and go, I'll carry this all the way out to the trash for you. And then the wind comes, and last time it was the snow, and scattered it around my yard, you know. So life isn't perfect. You know what? It just isn't. Because life isn't perfect, there are things we have to overcome. Is there tissue? Thank you. You have to forgive my crying because I'm a crybaby.
Crybaby for the Lord.
My friend says, if your eyes leak, your head won't swell. So I took her saying up and said, yeah, if your eyes leak, your head won't swell. But there's going to be things to overcome. Your life is not just because you got saved. You think, well, now, oh, guess what? Oh, and when you get saved, there's such peace and there's such hope. But really, in a way, there's a big target on your back now, because especially if you're going to do something for God. And the devil somehow can tell that. I don't know how he can tell that, but he watches all mankind, and he can see those who love Jesus with all their heart, and he goes, I'm going to see if I can break that, just because he hates Jesus and he hates you. So he'll send his imps and demons out and then just even put him aside and say, Life is just not going to go easy sometimes. And what really is upsetting is it's not fair. It's really not fair. If we want to compare, because what we'll do is compare. Well, I'm going to compare with Neva here. Now, I look at Neva, and she's all put together. She's beautiful. She's a busy person that doesn't, you know, and I'll compare. And, well, I wish I could be like Neva. But after you look a while, if you look deep, you're going to find that Neva has issues that she has to take to the Lord continually. If I look at Monica, she's so put together and such a fireball for God, but guess what? She's overcome great obstacles to stand where she's standing right now. You didn't get there by a wing and a prayer. You fought your way here, baby girl. You fought your way, and you found some tools, and you started applying them to your life. First thing you found was a scripture that probably said, we're made overcomers by the blood of the Lamb. You got bullets there. And the word of my testimony, we overcome. What is that about?
This right here.
Get your microphone.
Come show them. What is it?
My arsenal belt.
Your arsenal. Is it scripture?
Not yet.
Okay.
So somebody gave me this belt.
Y'all better watch her. You better not mess with Monica.
Somebody gave me this belt, and me being an artist, I like to do art and craft stuff. So I'm going to take this belt and the scriptures that God have given me personally.
Uh-huh.
On Valentine's Day, he gave me 54:5, Isaiah 54:5. The Lord is my husband.
Ooh, amen. Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to take...
He's the best one.
I'm going to take and I'm going to inscribe the scriptures that the Lord has given me.
Yeah.
And this is my belt of truth. My arsenal.
Oh, how good. How good.
It's my weapon.
Because that's...
One of the...
Ephesians, where you've got that, Ephesians 6. Uh-huh. That's exactly what it's telling us. You got to put on the belt of truth, which uh-huh. is the word of God. Actually, everything in that armor that he gives us is the word of God. Uh-huh. The helmet of salvation. The sword of the Spirit, that's the word of God. That means you got the word of God, and when the enemy comes up to you, you know how to wield it. Uh-huh. You know how to grab that, and you know how to jab him with that. And, wow, this is cool. It's cool, Monica. Well, she is a trophy of God's grace. I know the devil trembles when she gets up and says, oh, no, she's up again.
He woke her up again.
She's up again. But guess what she has done? She has grabbed a hold of scriptures. And everything the devil sent, because I know he sent things at Monica. We prayed over some things he sent at me. Monica and I prayed, and even I prayed, and we prayed past those things. And I'll tell you what, if you're doing anything for God, just get ready. Don't be surprised when the enemy shows up. And he's not even kind to knock on your door. Mm-hmm. He's an intruder. And he's in the room before you even know there. You're sitting with your family, and before you know it, he's talking to somebody's ear. And before you know it, an argument starts between somebody. Misunderstanding starts. And I'll tell you what, the devil, the Bible says he prowls around searching whom he can devour. And it says, be steadfast in the Lord, be strong in the faith. And listen, you've got to be wise as a serpent. You have got to realize, wait, that's not really that person. You know what? That person said those things and that was so hurtful, but really that wasn't that person. That was the enemy, and recognize him. So many times we don't recognize him, and so we take it out on someone else, or we internalize things when really they were darts from the enemy to come at our soul and hit us, and we don't have the shield of faith. One time the Lord told me my shield was out of place, and darts were hitting me. Darts were hitting me. Well, how were they hitting me? Well, I didn't have my shield up. Mm-hmm. And they hit that. Oh, just try it, devil. Take that. You know, take this. The Bible says all things work together for the good to those that love God. It says I'm more than a conqueror. We can get scriptures. And let me tell you, if you're very much of a person that's doing something for God, you better get these scriptures. If you're raising a family and you're going to raise them for God, you better get into this scripture and serve the Lord with your whole heart. Put everything you have into it. And that's going to mean getting into the Word of God. That's going to mean open it daily. Open it. Have a copy in your car. For me, when I was coming out of depression, I would write on 5x3 cards, and I would put scripture, and I'd put it up in my car. Now we have cell phones. We didn't have cell phones back then. I would put scripture in the bathroom. I'd put scripture on my mirror. And guess what? When I was everywhere, I could start memorizing those. Now we have our cell phone, and we can just pull it up. And we can take it with us everywhere. We can play it all night in our ear. Right now, I found a tape. Remember the tapes? The cassette tapes.
Yeah.
Well, I found one. And it is a man named Jim King. And he is quoting scripture over and over. Different scriptures on healing. And I went and put that in my car because my car still has. And so as I'm driving, I'm listening to this. And he will say, you know, and give the scripture reference. And then he will read this. His wife was healed. She struggled 4 years with a disease. And even at night, they would play scripture. And they would play it in here. Because your subconscious mind doesn't sleep. And your spirit doesn't sleep. So your spirit man will hear whatever you play at night. And they played this constantly. And I know another lady that told me that for 2 years she played scripture in her house. For 2 years. Always kept either scripture or gospel music, something going in her house. I said all the time, all the time. And then God healed her miraculously and at a church service one day. So we need to really grab a hold of the Word of God and be tenacious. Tenacious is what's tenacious? I mean, when you're tenacious about something, you've made up your mind and you're going for it. You don't turn to the right. You don't turn to the left. And like a bulldog's going for something, you head out and you make up your mind. And as a Christian, if we're going to have to overcome, we're going to have to make sure we're standing on good ground. That we've got good teaching coming to us from our church, that we've got good friends around us, that we don't have, that we're not walking with the brawlers and the evil people. We don't need to make your best friend somebody who's, unless you're mighty strong and know how to help them, do not make your best companions those who are still in sin and out in the world doing their thing, and particularly those who don't want to change. You just can't run with them. If they want to live that kind of lifestyle, then you're going to have to come out from among them and be separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, because they'll keep offering you the unclean thing. This person will keep offering you the unclean thing. Well, how do we know it's unclean? Well, you look in God's Word, and then you look at the result that happens when people or on it? Does it bring them near to Jesus? Does it draw them near to Jesus? Or are they out doing their own thing and not listening to Jesus? And let me tell you, rebellion is as a sin of witchcraft. You do not need to make somebody that's in rebellion against God and pull them into your inner circle. Now, they may be in your family, and God will give you grace to deal with that, but you don't need to just go get somebody to be your best friend. Teenagers, you need to listen to that. If somebody's rebelling against their mother and daddy, if they're trying to mess with all kinds of things to snort and drink and take and just be a rebellious kid, get away from them. Get away from them. Separate yourself from them. Because you know what? You need to set your eye. I think it'd be good for teenagers. I don't know if they have the mental capacity to do this, but to sit down and go, what do I want to be? What do I want to make of my life? What do I have to do to get there? What do I have to do to overcome to get there? Like, I want to be a nurse. If I want to be a nurse, what are the things I should be studying in high school? Well, what are the things I should, what should I be doing? It's really good to think through those kind of things. Who do my friends need to be? What do I need to be doing? And obedience to your parents. If any kids listen to this, and parents, you might can tell your kids, but there is a promise for obedience and honor. If you honor your mom and daddy, the Bible says you'll live long on this world. Mm-hmm. And if you don't honor your mom and daddy, I want to tell the kids, hey, how would you like? You found the love of your life. You want to live your life with her or him. And you have two or three kids. And you get to 25 or 33 years old and you drop dead. And you leave them behind for somebody else to raise. How many want to do that? You want a long life? You want to get to be a grandma and a grandpa and have kids and grandkids and have that posterity and have that blessing? Then you need to honor your parents. You need to honor those who are raising you. If it's not your parents, it's your guardian. Then you need to honor them. You need to listen to them. You need to do what you need to do. And you need to seek God and love and serve him. And you can have a good, long, prosperous life.
I got something to say on honor your parents. I can't remember who it was on Facebook. One of the people that I trust, like Rick Renner and a couple others that I watch. And they did a deal on honor the parents. And it seems like there's a twistedness going on. You know, some people feel like that honoring your parents is something that they have to earn. And it's like, no, honor is not something that they earn. It is something that is owed. And it says in the Bible, honor your mother and your father.
The children bestow it on the parents.
And whenever Haley was going, my granddaughter Haley, when she was going through some stuff, she had some really hurtful stuff go on with her. And I told her that you don't have to like what's going on, but the Bible says you have to honor and love them, period, bottom line. You don't have to stay with them because, you know, drugs or abuse or what have you. But the Bible says, God says, you have to honor them. That means whenever, for her, when she was going through her stuff, I said, baby, you want change? God's the only one that can change it.
Yeah.
So you honor your dad and your mother, and you love them. But you don't have to like what they're doing, right. And you don't have to like the lifestyle they're living. Right. But you do have to honor them because that's who God chose to bring you into this earth.
Right. And there's just, God honors those who honor. So you, if you will honor those who from whom honor is due, like your parents, and because God said, and that's even in the first 10 commandments, honor your father and mother, that your days may be long upon the earth. And so kids need to get that in their head. If you want long life, then you need to honor your mother and father and listen to what they say. It's just kind of in teenagers' nature to think their parents are stupid. And they don't want, you know, when they get about 25 or 30, their parents have gotten so wise in that time in their mind, you know, and the parents haven't changed. But they begin to see, you know. all that. Well, how do we overcome? How do we overcome, Monica? What are some of the things we need to do? We're a Christian. First things we need to do, if you're not really sold out to God, you are not going to make it. I'll just tell you that much. You're not going to make the rapture. If you just halfway hit and miss church, you halfway hit and miss reading your Bible, you have halfway hit and miss praying, you're not where you need to be with God. And that sounds harsh, but I'll just tell you the truth out of love. You need to be in constant contact with Jesus. You need to have prayed and repented of your sins and say this, not my will, but your will, Lord. I'm. What would thou have me to do today, Lord? You know, Jesus, if you come today, don't leave me. If you come tonight, Lord, don't leave me. You need that constant connection with God. If you don't have that, then you need to find a place to wherever you are right now and just say, Jesus, I repent of doing things my own way. I repent of my stubborn attitude. I know about you. I just fail to submit to you, Lord. I fail to include you in my day. I'm going on my day, and I haven't even thought about you all day. I haven't even invited you into my day. And I'm thinking, if we do that, we're forgetting to take that extra oil. If Jesus comes today, am I having enough oil in my life? Am I having enough God in my life? You know, how are we going to overcome? First, you sell out. Sell out. Lock, stock, and barrel to God. God, you're number one. And I'm going to do your will, not mine.
For me, I had to make my mind up. Because I personally believed in God. I believed in Jesus. But for me, that was for all them.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
And so when I come to the end of myself, mm-hmm. when I was doing it my way and it didn't go my
and
way.
Don't work this right. That's
you
right.
know, I finally
then
come
we
to
throw a little fit, don't we? When it don't go our way.
I came to an end of myself mm-hmm. and finally looked up. And made the decision, I made up my mind.
There you go.
That I'm going to get back into the Word.
Mm-hmm.
And before I get back into the Word, my mind is made up. No matter what this Word says, no matter what the Word of God says, I'm going to believe it. No matter what I read,
right.
if
Amen.
I like it or not,
Amen.
I'm going to believe the
right.
word of God,
right.
and I'm going to take it.
Apply it. That's a big deal, too. We can read it, but how does it get from there to here? Then your eye gate is very important. What you set your eyes on. David said, I will walk in my house with a perfect heart. I will set my eye on no wicked thing. You cannot sit down and watch vile movies that have all kinds of devils in them and not walk away from that unscathed. You're going to have that junk in your head, and then you're going to react according to that stuff because that's what you're feeding yourself. So it really, if we compare how many movies have I watched and how much time have I spent looking at other things, including Facebook, and I'm talking to myself, I'm pointing the finger back here. We can compare, have I been in God's Word? You know what? It's something we have to fight for. It's something we have to, and in prayer, like the little lady I've told this before, I called it a diaper, but I just read something and said it was an apron. She was Charles and John Wesley's mother. She had 19 children. Can you believe that?
Woo.
10 of them lived to be adults. Charles and John started the West Methodist movement. And their mother was such a godly woman that she had all these kids. Well, how do you get away from them? She's probably in a small house. So she would get an apron and put it on her head. And when she went, and I look at that, got that in my hair. Mama put the apron on her head. The kids knew Mama's going to pray. Kind of leave Mama alone, you know, Mama's going to pray. And she'd sit right there in front of all the kids and get herself alone and pray. What a blessing. She raised Charles and John. Now, somebody told me she raised 9 preachers, and I don't know if that's true or not, but I know this. That godly influence, when the you're giving your kids something. Well, Mama's praying. I heard her praying for me. Well, I heard her praying about this situation. I heard her praying about that. I heard her talking to God. She's so in love with Jesus. You're setting all that in your kid's heart. And guess where they're going to turn when they don't know what to do and they've got a problem? And what did John what did I call his name? His brother. What did they do? They served God, and God used them to start the Methodist movement, you know. And the Methodist movement, when it real started, so I understand, was probably very much Pentecostal, that they were very much along the doctrine assembly, very close to the Assembly of God, that some of their people can remember stammering lips, that they, the old timers, you know. And, you know, we don't get into denominations because guess what? Jesus don't know about denominations. Mm-hmm. I don't matter to him. One man said, Lord, I can't, his name is Gary Wood. He said, I can't receive the Holy Spirit with evidence speaking in other tongues. I'm Baptist. And he said, God is my witness. God said to me, what's a Baptist? You know, God doesn't look at us as you're Baptist and you go and I go with the link and you go over the, you know, he don't look at us like that. He don't even see that. He looks for himself and how people are talking. Are you preaching my word? Are you standing in the word? How much of the word is in me? Well, you know, those 10 virgins that Jesus told this parable, there was 10 and he called them virgins, but they were the bridesmaids and they were going out to meet the bridegroom. And because, see, it's all about the custom, and I need to read up on that and find out more. But he comes unexpectedly. She don't know just when he's coming. The bride gets ready, and then these people were lighting the way, and they carried these lanterns. And, well, he delayed, and they got sleepy, and they all sat down. I hate to wait. Waiting's my hardest thing. I wait in line, wait here. And then you've waited, and then they take someone in front of you. That's a grace I've had to learn. Lord, don't try me on that anymore. but anyway, here they're waiting, and they get tired waiting. And they get distracted waiting, and they go to sleep. And they know he's coming, but all the time their lamps are going, and then they just go out. The lamps, some of them go out. Well, the call is made. The bridegroom's coming. Go you out to meet him. Oh, yeah. Oh, wake up. Oh, my goodness. Get the sleep out of my eye. Oh, my light's gone out. Oh, hey, I don't have any oil. All my oil's burned. Could I have some of yours? No, go buy for yourself. I won't have enough to go the whole procession if I give you mine. No, and it shows every man has to have God in your heart for yourself. You can't ride on your mama's coattail. You can't ride on anybody else's coattail. You got to have the goods yourself in your heart. And they went, then they left. They just went to try to find what to do. And then in the parable, the bridegroom came. Well, guess what? There's only 5 sitting there. The other 5 are out trying to find oil because they hadn't thought to bring enough. They hadn't planned and prepared. And that's why I'm saying if we're going to overcome, we're going to have to be intentional. We're going to have to be intentionally reading the word. Intentionally praying, intentionally going to church, putting things aside and get in church. Quit putting it off. Go to church. Hear the word. Answer the altar call if it fits you and the Holy Spirit draws you. Obey God. You got to overcome. Do you want to be here when the rapture happens and you miss it? Well, none of us do. We don't want to be. We already know about all the chaos. It's already upheavaling. It's already beginning to go chaos on us. This pandemic has helped it to begin to rise. Guess what? We need to make our calling and election sure. We need to pray. We need to stay in contact with Jesus. We need to find every help we can find. Christian movies for our kids to watch. Be intentional. Go to Mardell's and get you some Christian movies. Find them on there's Christian movies. Don't let them watch this junk. Don't put that stuff in your kids. Pray with your family before you put them down to go to bed. Pray with those kids. I would go lay by each one of my boys, lay down by them or kneel there by them or talk. And I'd talk to one, then I'd move over and talk to the other. We're in the same room and when it's little, you know, and I remember Brent remembers me telling him, son, I love you enough to give my life for you. Because he said, I remember thinking, I don't think I love you that much. But anyway, the point to that is be intentional. Decide what direction do I want my family to go? You know, we're all so busy. We just live day in, day, and we don't stop and think, what are my goals for this family? You know what? We're going to overcome. And here's another word that pops in my mind, endure. Mm-hmm. It says, as a good soldier, endure hardness. But Lord, I don't want hardness. I want easiness. Some things are easy, but most things are not. Mm-hmm. A lot of things are not. And certainly, living for Jesus in this world, in this time, isn't always easy. Because you got a lot of opposition. Sometimes they're in your own household. Because they're at a different level of maturity. And your kids, for sure, aren't mature. And so, what do? We turn to the Lord. And we make up our mind. And we say, I'm going to endure. There's a song that says, whatever it takes to draw closer to you, Lord. That's what I'm willing to do. And whatever it takes for my will to break, that's what I'm willing to do. And the song goes on to be a scary song because it says, take my houses, my lands, take my dreams and my plans. I lay my whole life in your hand. And whatever it takes for my will to break, that's what I'll be willing to do. Well, I wanted to be like my brother. When he's getting ready to get a spanking, he didn't wait for them to start hitting him. They just say it and go get the belt. He's a bawling and squalling and apologizing and crying, and I didn't mean to, and whatever else, you know. And me, I just look at them and stand there till they're beating the tar out of me, you know. I don't know how I got off on that. Sorry. Whatever it takes, we got to make it through. But we can do it. You know why the scripture says we are more than conquerors through Christ Jesus our Lord. He's the conqueror. He's the one that went to death, through death, hell, and the grave. He got the keys for us. He overcame. He gave us the blood of the Lamb. He gave us the word of our testimony. How can we overcome? By the blood of the Lamb. We apply that blood of Jesus to our lives. And when the death angel saw that blood, he passed over him. And we used to sing, I will pass over you. It's Christ our Redeemer died on the cross, died for the sinner, paid all his due. Sprinkle your soul in the blood of the Lamb, and I will pass over you. And it's an old song we sang when I was a little girl, because they used to sprinkle doctrine all in those songs, you know, for us. But how do we overcome? The Bible says, by the blood of the Lamb. Get your heart right with God. Pray it through. Get it right. Pray it through. And then, what are you going to say about it? You always get up moaning and groaning. I can't overcome. It always happens to me. Yada, yada, yada. And go on like that. Well, you're not going to be very much of an overcomer until we can learn to control our mouth and start saying, you know what? Jesus is going to make a way where there seems to be no way. I don't understand why I'm facing this trial, but I know me and God's got it today. God, I depend on you. The word of your mouth is so important.
Amen.
It's been a problem of mine because someone will talk to me, and I already just prayed about that thing. It's going to be okay. I'm healed. And they say, well, what's going on? All this, and I just start listing all the ailments we just prayed about. It's a trick from hell, you know, a trick from the devil. Anyway, we need to pray. And if you give it all you've got. You go, well, I'm tired. Then find a place to rest in Jesus. There's certain, he says, rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. And that's the enduring, is waiting. Sometimes when you ask a prayer, it doesn't happen tomorrow. Sometimes it's a tomorrow and a tomorrow and a tomorrow, particularly when you're praying for people because they're stubborn and rebellious. And God has to have time to bring them around. And so just keep praying. Sometimes disease is stubborn and rebellious. And we've got to hang on when God says you're healed, but I don't feel healed. Don't look healed. Still hurts. And just we sometimes wait on the Lord and hang on and have that endurance to believe him. When one man, he said his wife didn't like it if he went to the refrigerator and got milk and just drank it out of the deal. And he said she caught him in the middle of the night. He got up and he's drinking out of that. And she caught him and he looked and he said, woman, are you going to believe me or your eyes? Sometimes we have to look at God's word and say, are you going to believe that or the circumstance? What are you going to believe? Right. Well, I'm going to go with God because he always makes a way where there seems to be none. I can't even see it. He will work his ways in me, work in ways I cannot see. Mm-hmm. He will be my guide and hold me closely to his side with love and strength for each new day. He will make a way.
Amen.
So when I can't see it, I say, this is what it says anyway, so I trust it.
Would this be a good time to take a break and do some of those prayer requests?
Amen. Let's do it.
Amen.